For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Yes, oh God, and a release of your spirit in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word, which is already anointed. Thank you for the supply of your spirit. The supply of your spirit. The supply of your spirit. For with your spirit we would never lack, oh God. Thank you, oh God, for understanding coming to our hearts. We bless you and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Sister Eunice, you have a song for us. Glory be to God. Amen. Gloria a Dios. Amen. So we thank God, and God is doing great and mighty things. And God is establishing the lay ministry. And that's what Reverend went for. And right now, the lay ministry is really established. And Bishop is encouraging us as a church that we should make ourselves relevant to God. Amen. Yes, we should make ourselves relevant to God. We should be such that if God is getting rid of everybody, or everybody is being gotten rid of on earth, he will look at you and say, I can't get rid of Millicent. I mean, why should I get rid of Millicent? Because of the wonderful singing that she's doing in my house. Yes. So we should make ourselves what? Relevant to God. And it's such a powerful message. And I believe that Reverend will come and share more with us. Amen. So now we have the lay ministers council. And do we have all these board members? And Reverend is one of the people who is also with the itinerant ministry. So they help the other pastors travel around. Amen. And they have these beautiful jackets. Wow. Hey, that's why our bishop is wild, though. Awesome, beautiful jacket that he's cloaked them with. Wow. To show the next level that he's taking them. Amen. So it's good. Hallelujah. So Reverend has been teaching us about how to what? Neutralize what? Curses. How to neutralize curses. And our key scripture was Revelations 22 and verse 3. How to neutralize curses. The camp is also available. The camp is online, all right? We had it with Bishop. Was it 2 years or 3 years ago? 2 years? 2 years ago. So it's there, it's available. You can listen to the entire camp and can be blessed by it. And we also have the books at the camp. We're all giving books. So if you don't have a book, try and buy the book, all right? So that you can read it and be blessed for yourself. Amen. So in Revelations 22, verse 3, we realize that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Are you excited about the new heaven and the new earth? Aren't you tired of this old earth that we are in with tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis? I mean, every day there's something. But in the new heaven and the new earth, this is what God is telling us. Verse 3, it says, and there shall be no more curse. Yes, we will not experience the effect of a curse. And we learn that a curse is something that is what? Pervading. Prevailing. Pervading means that it fills everything. You know, just like a cancer. When cancer touches a cell, then it tries to spread itself and just destroy things. So is a curse. It tries to fill and take over everything. But the Bible is promising us, and God is telling us that there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and we and his servant shall serve him. Amen. and his servants shall serve him. So the curse will be what? Totally removed. Amen. And if you don't believe that there's a curse, then you are also deceived. Yes. You are really deceived as a Christian if you don't believe that there's a curse. So Reverend went on to show us that what is a curse? You know, what is a curse? And we realized that a curse is when something or someone is sentenced to demotion or inferiority because of a curse, instead of becoming greater, like we're singing this morning, and wider and higher and all that, you realize that rather you are sentenced to what? Demotion. Yes. And when you look around on earth, you see a lot of what? Things that are decaying and getting smaller and being wasted and wearing away and so many things spoiling because of what? The presence of what? A curse. Amen. And we also learned that a curse also brings continual sorrow. Hey, says it is a repetitive, continuous, frequent, unrelenting, and sustained sorrow that defines us. What? Continual what? Sorrow. Continual sorrow. Genesis 3:17. And that's one of the things that God released was what? Sorrow. So in the book of Revelation, it says, there shall be no more what? Sorrow. Yes. I always say that when I get to heaven, I want to see my tears, which is filled with, the bottle which is filled with my tears. I always say it. I want to see it because I feel that I've really cried. Oh, yes. I've really cried in my life. I've cried about so many things. I've cried about church members. Hey, when you're in the ministry, then your crying doesn't end with you alone. No. Now you begin to also cry about the church members. When they are going through something, their problem becomes your problem. Their tears becomes your tears. Their sorrow becomes your sorrow. I'm crying all the time. Hey, continuously what? Crying. Yes. So when the Bible says that there shall be no more sorrow, we should be very happy. Hey, you should be very happy, yo, that a time will come that there will be nothing like crying and feeling sad about something. Wow. And some of us, do we want to miss such a thing? Hey, don't miss it for all the diamonds in where? In where? In London. I didn't know there was diamonds in London. In Sierra Leone. Yeah, that one is better. Not for all the what? Diamonds in Sierra Leone. They got from Sierra Leone to London. Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right on, sister. All right. So look at what God told Adam. He says, and unto the Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. In disobedience. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Hey! So it doesn't matter whether you're a bank manager, the president of whatever, this thing, there's always a difficulty in trying to do whatever you are doing. Everything, you have to use some extra, you realize nothing is coming easy. Everything, you have to toil and sweat and so. Yes, I'm Mary Force Ball Agoreka. Some people say, what did she just say? Somebody was trying to play golf, you know, and the person was really forcing the golf ball. And there was a guy standing by, he said, I'm a reforced ball, Agoreka. Forcing the ball. So every time we are forcing, you can see that the golf ball wants to go this way, but we have to force it to go that way. Hey! Because of what? The presence of a curse. So if you don't believe that it's there, it's really there, and it's real. Amen. And we realize that a curse is something that's what is continually what frustrating. It makes us unhappy, and we receive the opposite of what we deserve for our hard work. What? Yeah. In the 18, it says, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. So as you are laboring, instead of the thing bringing forth flowers, beautiful fruit, see, the thing is bringing forth what? Thorns and thistles. Ha! Because of what? The presence of the curse. But today we are going to receive wisdom. How to overturn and how to neutralize the curse. Amen. Yes, how to overturn and how to neutralize the curse. And another definition that we learned was that when there's a curse, it means that you are surrounded, bedeviled, continually harassed, continually tormented, unable to escape, and you continually arrive at a doomed and damned end. Wow. And the word there is that you are besieged. Besieged. Be what? Besieged. Just like we, you know, when we learned about during the Syria war, Aleppo and those places, they were what? Besieged. It means that they couldn't get supplies in. You couldn't move out of the city. You couldn't, even if there's no water, they couldn't bring the water. Airplanes couldn't fly on top to even drop anything. The people were there and starving to death. Wow. It's a very difficult thing, oh. And sometimes you watch and you wonder that, why will a president want his people to go through such a thing? Yes. And the people were what? Totally besieged. They couldn't go out. They couldn't come in. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't get food. They couldn't get water. You could see babies dying, and then they were releasing, you know, the bombs and all that. It was a very, the Red Cross couldn't come in. They couldn't bring in aid, nothing. People were just totally stuck in the city. And that is how the presence of a curse can be. Yes. But in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 14, we can learn that you don't need to be besieged. There's something that can get you out of that. And that is what we are learning. And that is what Reverend is teaching us. So Ecclesiastes 9, verse 14. What does it say? It talks about Ecclesiastes 9, 14. ECC. This is still Genesis. Ecclesiastes 9, 14. All right. It says there was a little city and few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Can you imagine? Little city, big king. You couldn't get out of it. The situation was terrible and the situation was difficult. Impossible. This is what we call what? Impossible situation. All right. So what helped them? 15. Now, there was found in it a poor wise man. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Wow. Amen. So it took what? Wisdom for us, or for them to what? Break out of the bulwark. It took wisdom for them to break out of the besiegement. It took wisdom for them to come out of that difficult situation that they were in. You see, it didn't take, you know, knowing, you know, sometimes you can be in a family. Let's say you are in a family that they are always getting divorced. And then we come to you and then we tell you that in order to save your marriage, we are going to teach you on the principles of making your marriage better. Principle number one, love your wife. Take her for walks. Remember her birthday. Give her gifts. Tell her I love you. Open the car door for her. I mean, you go shopping with her. So many things. I'm sorry. Walk in the rain together. It means I are going for love walks. Hey! Look, you can do those things, eh? And be doing it, and you see that, yes, still, the marriage will just spoil. Hey! So it is not just some principles, so. Yes. And the wisdom that Reverend is trying to teach us is what we need to be learning. That what can really neutralize the curse? What can do it? Yes, like when you have sulfuric acid, all right, H2SO4. Yes. And you want to neutralize the acid. You have to get what? Sodium hydroxide or, I mean, any of the bases, isn't it? Yeah. So you get two molecules of what? Sodium hydroxide. And you add it to your H2SO4. Then what do you get? You get sodium sulfate plus water. The whole thing is neutralized. The acid is having problems. All right. And we know that sodium sulfate is what? A salt. It's not harmful. And water is what? A blessing. Yes. So we are being told that, look, the wisdom that we need actually is to have a blessing. Ah. We need a blessing, just like the sodium hydroxide, to totally neutralize the effect of the acid, which would otherwise burn us, burn your clothes, burn your hair. I mean, you don't want sulfuric acid to get on your skin, not for anything, any reason, anyhow. Yeah. And I'm very amazed that in Africa, we take such dangerous techniques to do neutralization. You will not believe us in our chemistry labs. We actually use the pipette and things and we, our mouth. What if we drank it? You're serious, oh? Compared to this nice country that there's so much caution with everything, we were really sucking. Dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. Wow. But that's what we had. Amen. All right. So curses needs to be what? Neutralized by having what? A blessing. A blessing. A blessing. So you need a blessing in your life. Yes. You need a blessing. Just like the Israelites, it does not matter where they are, whether Hitler tried to kill them, he tried to get rid of them, because they are carrying a blessing. They are still a blessed nation. It doesn't matter whether they are in the middle of Africa or whatever. Their place is dry. Yes, still, the land is extremely blessed because they carry what? A blessing. So what we need is what? A blessing. A blessing. A blessing. So that these curses and these fantastic, wicked things can be eliminated in our lives. So that even if you are going and people look at you, because the blessing is so much, even though you are struggling and working hard and there's difficulty, but the blessing is so much that, I mean, when some people look at you and they're like, ah, I really want to become like this person. Look at you, they're like, man, I really want my life to become like that person. Yes, because of the presence of what? A blessing. Amen. So what are the things that Reverend taught us that we can do to receive a blessing? The first one that he taught us 2 weeks ago, isn't it? That you can induce or produce a blessing on your life by serving God. Amen. When you serve God, you are what? Blessed. And I said, look in the Bible. Anyone who what? Served God was blessed. Was it Isaac? He was blessed. God called him my servant David. Hey! Don't you want God to call him his servant? Yes. My servant in Kitch. Hey, it's a powerful thing, no? You just want to be called a servant of, I don't even know what, a servant of what bank? Walmart. You want to be called a servant of Wall Street, a servant of what? The White House. No, I would even say it's better, you know. But it's more powerful when God looks at you and he calls you my servant. Yes. My servant Christina. It's so powerful. And that's how he called the people in his back in the Bible. He said, look, how can I do this and hide it from my servant Abraham? They were servants of God. Yes. So as you serve God, he'll bless you. In any dimension that you serve God, even if wicked people at the end of the week or month or 2 weeks decide to cut you a paycheck, wicked people, how much more shall God not bless you as you serve him? How much more? He will bless you. He will bless you. He says, ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. It means that every provision in your life, every source of it, will be blessed. And he says that in blessing you, I also take sickness away from the midst of thee. So that you are not even going to be sick. And as you are enjoying the provision, because you can be rich, enjoying the money, then you are sick. But he says that he will rather take sickness and disease from the midst of thee, and he will bless your bread and he will bless your water. It means that your very livelihood, your very source of sustenance, everything about you will be blessed. Yes. So it's very powerful when you serve God. And last week we learned that we should induce a blessing by what? Accepting the call of God. He says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and calls to approach unto thee. So as God is calling you deeper and closer to him, he's calling you for what? A blessing. Yeah. When you're a woman and you get chosen, be happy. Okay, let me not go there. Oh, I should go there. You are blessed. Amongst a lot of women, you have been chosen. This guy is saying that, look, I don't want to marry A. I don't want to marry B. I've seen C. She's fair and nice. This one, she's blossom, fat, all those things. I've seen it. The other one, she's whatever. I've seen all that. But it is you. It is you. It is you. It's you that I want. Then you are there. You've made your neck hard. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be chosen. Yes, it's a blessing to be chosen. Amen. And then we learned that the nearness of God is our good. Amen. Today we'll just quickly add this and we'll end with that. It says you can induce and produce a blessing on your life by following the voice of God. The lovely voice of God. The lovely voice of God. I'm trying to become like Sister Makaya. You better believe it.
It shall happen. I shall be there. Hey, they are prophesying on my life.
Says you can induce and produce a blessing in your life by what? Following the voice of God. All right, let's read this. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently, Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. He says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commands, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee, not like that alone, and overtake thee. And if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So God is saying that if you listen to his voice, yes, and the commandments of God, the Bible says they are not grievous. They are not difficult. The things that God usually asks you day by day and day to day, they are not like, you know, rocket science kind of things. Usually something simple, something little. Yes. Give your life to me. Believe that I'm your Lord. Follow me. Things like that. And the Bible is saying that when we hearken unto his voice, when God is speaking to us, and we are listening, and we are hearing, and we are listening, and we are hearing, and we are obeying, he says that something will come upon our lives, and that thing is called a blessing. And he says when that thing comes upon your life, it will not just be there, but that thing that will come upon your life would be on you and would even overtake you. So when you are even trying to force yourself to be blessed, the thing rather is like you are going. Eh? It's like when a bride is coming. And as the bride is coming, we just throw these flowers, you know, nice petals before the bride. Yes. So that's what God is saying. As you are coming as a bride, then even before you take your first step, something has been thrown there. So you are desiring this is there. You go here, you get there, it's there. You come here, you get there, it's there. You are coming more, it's there. The blessings, they are coming. And they are also what? Overtaking you. So even you are here and the blessings cry out there. It's like, hey, when can I reach this? I mean, they are there for you. He says the condition is to what? Listen. Hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord. Amen. Proverbs 8:34 says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the posts of my door. So every time as you are hearing God, you see, when God is speaking to you, be happy. Oh, be very, very happy. Be so excited. You know, when you wake up and God is, you, even when you are doing something, all right, even in the house, okay, if you're a younger person, there's no young person here, or even if you are growing up, and those growing up, if you are young and you have somebody telling you something that you are doing and it's wrong, be very happy. Be very, very happy. Yes. I remember one time my best friend, you know, one of my best friends, I had a couple of them, but one of them, you know, they came from a very wealthy family. You know, their father had a big business. In those times, VCRs were like, I mean, mansions. But they had a VCR then. So every Saturday and Sunday after Sunday school, we just go to a house and watch some movies. I mean, we're very happy about that. And one time, the mother, you know, told us that young girls, in those times, were all those size zero kind of women. We're young. Yes. And when her daughter was very beautiful, but I mean, she had grown and she was looking very motherly. Maybe she was like three times her size then, you know, looking very motherly. And so she told us, that, look, young girls. And she told us something that, he said, when she was growing up, she met a guy who was a God-fearing man who wanted to marry her. And then she met her present husband that she's married to. And then she told us that she did not marry the first guy because she told herself that, look, she's gone through a lot of difficulties and poverty and all that. And here was this man who was much older than her, but, you know, had a lot of substance. So she looked at it. She told us. Say she looked at it. And that's how she made her decision. Yeah. But she was blessed with six children and all that. And this thing. But when you go to the house, you could always sense a lot of stress. Yeah. Because even though the man was doing his business, he wasn't adding God to it. And when things were going wrong, he could get very upset and stressed. And you could sense the stress and the difficulty there. Yes. So, and apart from their six children, they had brought in so many people in the house. The man has his, you know, his friend in abroad who was divorced. They had brought their two children too. They were, I mean, when you go to the house, there's no space to even walk or sit or nothing. Hey! And you could sense the stress. I mean, we were kids, so what? I mean, what we care? We've seen the VCR, we've seen this thing, and we were just enjoying it. But she was the wife. And she was always, she told us that, look, don't just look at what a man has to marry. But she says, like, by now, I'm sure I'll be doing the work of God and the things of God. I mean, you get it? Yes. So sometimes when you hear a voice, when you get someone to say something, when God speaks to you, be happy. That God, pa, be very happy that God is saying something to you. Oh, yes. Be very excited that where you are, God is able to tell you that, look, put your life together, or do this, or go this way, or pass this way. Because what he wants to do is that he wants to bless you. When any time God is speaking, it's like parents. Anytime a parent is speaking to a child, it's for the good of the child. It's not for the ill of the child. It's not your mother hates you, your father hates you. Why will your father say, go to school? I mean what's that? Go to school. And my father hates me. He says I should go to school. What is wrong with you? My mother hates me. Says I shouldn't do drugs. No. When God loves you, he will begin to speak to you. Amen. So the blessing, he says that, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So as you are hearing the voice of God, and Bishop has written a whole book, The Art of Hearing, read it. Say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. Speak to me. Sometimes God has one little counsel. When you read the lives of great people, they always tell you that, look, it was just one command or something that God asked them to do, and they did. And that is why their lives are blessed. So you too, it may not be something big and magnificent and gigantic and so demanding. It could be something little. God may say, oh, just start this little business. Just begin to sing in church. Oh, just begin to do this little thing. Oh, just love these little children. Just do something little. And as you obey, your blessing comes. Yes. And that's sulfuric acid. That harsh thing called the curse. That difficult thing that makes everything difficult. You see, that begins to what? Melt away. Yeah. And then the blessing will be coming. And before you get there, the blessing is already there. They say, hey! You get there, you say, hey! Bishop said he had a vision and he saw pots of gold on the way. And at first, when he saw the first one, he wanted to. I mean, if you see Paul of God, what would you like to do? You want to really be there and take all the gold that you can. And God told him, no. Don't touch anything. There's more on the way. That's what we call the blessings shall what? Overtake you. Amen. Bow down your heads and pray for yourself this morning. Just ask God. I know God has spoken to many of us, many things. That lovely voice of God, that still small voice, we've heard it. And God is speaking to you again today. First, ask God to forgive you. Say, Lord, forgive me for disobeying. And then ask God, say, Father, give me a second chance. I'm willing to obey. For in obeying your voice, I'll be blessed. Just pray for yourself. Father, help us as we've heard your lovely voice. Whatever little thing you are telling us to do, as a church, as your people, 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 that little voice, the little things you've been telling us, oh God, the things, oh Father, that you've been stirring our hearts concerning, give us the grace to obey you in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, not to become disobedient, but Father, let us obey. For in obeying, there are great blessings. Blessings that would overtake us. We thank you and we give you praise. And also, if you are here this morning and you know that you've been very disobedient to God, I want to give you the opportunity to come back to him and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I've been running away from you. I've been running away from you. I've been running away from you. I want to give you that opportunity again. God is saying that a time will come that there will be no more curse. And he wants you to enjoy that moment. You want to say, Lady Pastor, pray with me, pray for me. I want to give my life to Christ. Is there anybody like that? If you are here, I want you to lift up your hands and I want to pray with you and pray for you and say, Lord, no more will I run away from you, but I'll heed to your voice. Is there anybody here like that? I want to pray for you and pray with you this morning. God is waiting. Hallelujah. Is there anybody? Don't be shy and don't be afraid. And it's better to give your life to him now and walk with him and obey him now. That is what God is desiring from us. Anybody here like that? All right, let's all say this together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for my life. Help me to be obedient to you. Help me to walk in your way. Help me to walk in your way, Lord. Help me to never fall away from you. And help me to always obey your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you are here, you want to pay your tithe, come up. All right, come up. We'll pray for tithe.